Good mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, remembering legendary College Football Hall of Famer Dick Strom. University of Findlay Director of Athletics Jim Givens reflects on Coach's Oiler legacy. And before he was Athletic Director for the Findlay City Schools, Nate Wyrow was an NAIA National Champion and the top defensive back in the nation for the Oilers under the guidance of Coach Strom. He'll share his memories of Coach. And with the World Cup underway, we've got another collection of delicious and easy-to-make watch party recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, June 12th, 2026. So the United States will take the pitch tonight to begin their journey at the World Cup. The U.S. men's national team will take on Paraguay at SoFi Stadium in the first of three group stage matches. Each team plays three group stage matches, and then the top teams will advance to the knockout rounds. It is the 10th time that the U.S. and Paraguay have faced off in a head-to-head history that stretches back to the very first FIFA World Cup in 1930 that was played in Uruguay. Bet you didn't know that, did you? First World Cup was in Uruguay. That was the year, as a matter of fact, the very first World Cup, the U.S. made its deepest run. They finished third in the tournament that year. The U.S. led onto the field by star players Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, and Tyler Adams. The United States have never won the World Cup in the, what, we finished third in the very first one in 1930, but in the modern era, the furthest we have ever gone is to the quarterfinals. But there are high expectations for this squad. Still, Team USA, despite the high expectations and the host country, or one of the host countries, U.S. is hosting with Mexico and Canada, but because the bulk of the matches will be played in the U.S., and all of Team USA's matches, at least in the group stage, and it will be in the U.S., and despite that fact, usually the host team gets a bit of a boost. We certainly did the last time we hosted the World Cup in, what was it, 94. We did very well. So there are high expectations. Still, Team USA is a 50-1 long shot to win the tournament. That according to the Vegas odds makers. 50-1 long shot. At BetMGM, Spain is a slight favorite at plus 450. Followed by France, England, Brazil, and Portugal. So those are the favorites. U.S. at 50-1. So tonight, 9 o'clock, Fox has coverage of the World Cup this year. A couple of other items among the first things you need to know this morning. The most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Lawmakers in Ohio supporting a measure aimed at protecting first responders. House Bill 20 has been passed and sent to the desk of Governor DeWine for his signature. The legislation will make it illegal to come within 15 feet of an emergency responder who is performing their duties after a verbal warning is issued. So if they say get back, you have to get back 15 feet. If you don't, you could be charged with obstructing official business. And that would be a misdemeanor, right? It's not a felony. I believe it would make it a misdemeanor. If the legislation is signed by the governor, I would imagine that it probably will be House Bill 20. So that is thing to watch in state news. And then did you hear about this? There is a measure moving its way through the legislature that would make Ohio's voter ID rules a part of the state constitution. Now, we already have voter ID requirements in Ohio, but state lawmakers this week went and passed Joint Resolution 10, Senate Joint Resolution 10. That was approved by state lawmakers. And so it will go to the ballot in November. Ohioans will have an opportunity to enshrine that provision for voter ID into the state constitution. So it will not change how elections are conducted in Ohio because we already have voter ID laws in place, but adoption of the amendment would mean that those rules would be impossible to change without another constitutional amendment. So clearly there is some concern amongst Republicans who strong advocates of this, that should they lose power in the state legislature, that if they don't enshrine it in the Constitution, that Democrats might reverse the rules requiring voter ID, and they don't want that to happen, so they want to put it in the Constitution. Voters will have their say in November on this, so look for that on the general election ballot later this year. And a couple of other items here that I thought were interesting, and that's what we'd like to start with, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new survey from U.S. Bank finds that almost one in three Americans are not checking their bank balances because of anxiety. We don't want to know what it says, so we're not bothering to check our bank balances. Younger adults report the sharpest money stress, with nearly half of Gen Zers say they avoid checking their bank accounts entirely. Nearly three quarters of millennials reported high or moderate anxiety over their financial situation. Checking and savings balances, while one in four adults say that they would need $10,000 saved in order to avoid that kind of financial stress. And since not many folks do necessarily have $10,000 in their checking and or savings account, they're avoiding checking. That's not a good thing. I mean, I get the anxiety, but it's not going to get better if you don't look at it. I understand the mindset of sticking your head in the sand, but that rarely leads to good outcomes. So if that's you, I mean, might want to just suck it up, bite the bullet, and, you know, double check and make sure that you're not in worse shape than you actually are. Because what always happens, I mean, I get it. And what always happens, though, you worry about something, you fret about it. In this case, you're not checking your bank account. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to know. And when you finally do, it's not as bad as maybe you thought it was. Unless, of course, you wait too long and avoid it completely for like months on end, and then it turns out worse than it would have been if you'd have just been proactive. You know what I mean? Nothing good can come from this. And how about this to chew on here this morning? This is another survey. Actually, it was kind of a scientific study. They looked at nearly 1,000 primary care patients, averaging 52 years old. So some were younger, some were older. And this was a study of people's health literacy skills. And what they found was that nearly one-third of middle-aged Americans struggle with basic health tasks like understanding the instructions on their prescription medication. Now, it's right there on the label, but they struggle with understanding the directions, not only on the labels, but also they struggle with recalling information that they had gotten from their doctor during their most recent visit. Researchers found that people couldn't remember details of their diagnosis just 10 minutes after receiving that information from their doctor. Prescription confusion stemmed from unclear labeling and inconsistent warning placements. Okay. Now, this is important because misunderstandings can lead to incorrect dosing, dangerous drug combinations, or unnecessary side effects. And experts recommend asking open-ended questions of your doctor, like, what do I need to know about this medication? And you can talk to both your doctor and your pharmacist about this if you're confused. And keeping medication lists and slowing down appointments for clearer explanations from your healthcare professional can improve those health outcomes. I saw this and I'm thinking to myself, this would be a perfect application of artificial intelligence. Okay. So you go into the doctor, and I'm sure that there are apps for this, because I can't be the first person to come up with this idea. I'm sure there are apps for this. I haven't looked for them. I'll have to go and see. But you go into the doctor's office for your appointment. You pull out your phone. You record the conversation so that you can refer to it later. And then you have the app, using artificial intelligence, kind of analyze what the doctor says and break it down into common terms that everyday folks can understand. Remove all of the medicalese and boil it down to the most important information that you need to know. That would be a perfect application of AI. I mean, we talk about all of the different applications of AI, and some of them are kind of worrisome. People are fearful of AI, but that would be, I think, a very positive use of AI technology. And again, I'm sure such a thing exists. It caught my eye because just yesterday, we had to take our dog to the vet, because she was feeling a little, her stomach was upset. She had diarrhea and all of that. So she obviously was not feeling well. And so we took the dog to the vet, and I didn't understand a lot of what the doctor was saying. We got the prescriptions, we got the, you know, medications and everything. But at the same time, my wife was asking me questions, because I took the dog into the doctor where she was at work. And so when she got home, she asked me all these questions. I don't know. And then I saw this pop up and I thought, you know, this is a perfect example. Maybe I should have recorded the conversation so that I could refer to it later. Anyway, there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Gradually becoming sunny today with a high around 80. Mostly clear tonight, low in the 60s. The Hancock County Engineer's Office is informing drivers of a speed limit reduction on a couple of county roads. Hancock County Road 95 West Bigelow Avenue from I-75 to County Road 140 is now 35 miles an hour, down from 45 miles an hour. Also, County Road 140 from Township Road 94 to County Road 99 is now 45 miles an hour instead of 55. Hancock County Engineer Doug Cade says a traffic engineering study was conducted and the results were sent to the Ohio Department of Transportation, which made the call to lower the speed limits. Get more on our website. It's already a state law, but this November, Ohio voters will decide if a law requiring people to show a photo ID to vote becomes enshrined in the Ohio Constitution.
Ohioans will vote in November on a constitutional amendment requiring photo ID to vote. State Republican lawmakers passed the ballot resolution late last night. Ohio law already requires citizens to provide photo identification thanks to a bill the lawmakers passed in 2022, and it took effect in 2023.
ONN's Danita Harris reporting. Get more on our website. Raise the Bar Hancock County is saluting Tony Iriddy, who was instrumental in launching Raise the Bar in 2016. Raise the Bar says Tony was a visionary and a leader and knew the importance of workforce development for the Findlay-Hancock County community, and knew that dedicating an entity to streamlining the cradle-to-career pathway would pay dividends over time. Raise the Bar says while Tony's passing leaves a big void, his legacy will long continue through their work. Get more on our website. Habitat for Humanity of Findlay-Hancock County is inviting the public to the home dedication ceremony for three homes next week. The three homes that will be dedicated on Tuesday are located in the 1600 block of Bishop Lane. Learn more about the families that will be entering their new homes for the first time in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news anytime at WFIN.com.
We mentioned earlier, we're kind of dedicating the program this morning to remembering legendary College Football Hall of Famer Dick Strom. University of Findlay Director of Athletics Jim Givens is with us this morning. And Jim, obviously a tough week for Oiler Nation with news. It would be difficult to overstate the accomplishments, the legendary status that Coach Strom has when it comes to University of Findlay athletics.
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Yeah, you're exactly right. It's been a tough week. We've worked with coach's family and got everything going for services next week. So kind of glad that's behind us. That was tough as well for many of us. But yeah, I think what goes understated about Coach Chris is, you know, I talk about to this day to all of our student athletes on three things: being kind, having respect, and caring. And Coach is a model for all of that. It goes beyond the football accolades and accomplishments, which were unmatched. And I think that's really important that people know it wasn't just about him being a football coach to his student athletes. It was about him being a mentor, him being a friend, him being a father figure for those away from home. And that's what really stood out after I got to know him. That's what stood out for me.
That was what I was going to ask. I mean, obviously his record and the accolades, that all speaks for himself, and everyone is familiar with all of that, but it's the stuff that we don't often see, that fans, that the general public doesn't often see, that really sets him apart. And almost to a man, you talk to everyone who ever had contact with Coach Strong, and they'll tell you the same thing.
Yeah, 100%. You know, during his time as coach, it was a different time. Mm-hmm. Finley was a school where coach decided wanted to take a chance on kids and help bring them along in life. And oh, by the way, they were pretty good at football too.
Yeah.
But it was really important that he was there, and those young men had a father figure because some of them didn't in their lives.
Yeah.
And again, that's something that people really, really don't know about coaches, how he took guys in. And I don't know if you remember this, but one of the things that I thought Coach did that sets him apart from many was he set up the foster program, where student athletes that came from maybe a different demographic, they were able to live with host families for years. That took place, and so he knew that they were going to be taken care in a home, and they weren't going to be on their own. Because they weren't ready to be on their own necessarily.
Yeah.
And those young men today come back and that's all they talk about, is what coach did for them. You know, again, not necessarily on the field, but what went on off the field.
Yeah. Which is, when you really think about it, that's impressive, because obviously there are a lot of accomplishments that they could remember and talk about and reflect on and all of it from the success that was had on the field. So there's plenty to talk about there. There's plenty to celebrate and remember there. But the fact that so many people go first to all of those other things just speaks to, you know, how, what a great individual he was. I think it's also interesting in reading some of what has been written in the past several days, people pointing out that he recruited a lot of people, a lot of kids locally. He got the best from athletes here locally as well, which I think is really impressive.
No, absolutely. Even back when he was coaching, it's really tough as a coach to keep regional kids near home.
Mm-hmm.
They want to go experience everything that college has to offer. And coach just had a way, him and his staff, they just had a way to shine a light on the University of Findlay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that, yes, was through football. But again, I think a lot of that is credit to him and the staff that he surrounded himself by. That was important.
And he
said, I'm going to win with these kids because we can.
Yeah. And finding that talent that maybe might have otherwise gone overlooked, you know, by other programs, I think is really impressive in turning that talent into the championship caliber teams that he had. That being said, with respect to his on the field success, I guess I never really, until this week, I went back and I was looking at all of his records from all of his years, and there were also some lean years in there, late 80s, early 90s, before the program came back and captured another couple of titles. There were some lean years, and I'm thinking, you know, in a lot of programs, there might have been the thought that, well, you know, maybe his time has passed. He had some great success, but maybe it's time to move on. And yet, what can you say about past leadership at the University of Findlay to stick with Coach and say, you know, we've got our guy and he's going to bring this program back?
Hey, yeah, no question. That was one of his finest attributes as a coach is it didn't matter what the team was that particular year. Mm-hmm. He was going to coach them the same way, and he was going to instill what he believed to be the way to not just play the game, but to live. And that's you think of today, that it's not that long ago, Chris, and that the landscape has changed so rapidly.
Yeah.
We all know what it's about now. Mm-hmm. Coach would have lost his mind in today's world, as a coach. He, in fact, that might've been really interesting to see how that all would play out, but
yes,
you know, it was definitely a sign of the times. And, again, he took chances on young men from places that typically the University of Findlay never recruited. Mm-hmm. He was in Florida. He was everywhere. And he was able to keep those young men in Findlay for 4 years and develop them.
Right.
And if you look back, there wasn't a period of time where a freshman class came in and they didn't win.
Yeah.
They might've had a couple losses, and let's be honest, when Coach lost a couple of games during the season, it was like, oh my gosh, what the heck was going on?
Right.
Because the national championship was the bar. Mm. And that's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough, for any coach. But he embraced that, and he instilled that in his kids.
And that
was special.
And the flip side of that is true as well. I mean, certainly he must have had opportunities to go other places and maybe move up the coaching ladder at larger schools, more prominent schools, whatever might happen to be. He did have experience at the Division I college level. But to stay and make his legacy at the University of Findlay, obviously the great respect and the great admiration worked both ways.
Absolutely. I mean, just another word to describe Coach is loyal. He was one of the most loyal people that I have ever been around. He really, when I started at the University of Findlay in 1997, they had come off the national championship. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Chris, he treated me as a former player coming off of the field at a high level. He taught me a lot that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And to be able to talk to him and frankly, we knew each other, because of Gina, his daughter. I went to school with her.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would have been easy for him just to kind of, you know, continue to go on his own way and not stop by my office and say, hey, what the hell are you doing? Why are you doing this? You can't do that. You got to do it. You know?
Yeah.
And that was where I finally realized, like, hey, this guy, he knows what he's doing, and he's doing it for the right reasons.
Yeah. Certainly our thoughts are with the family, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that his wife, Ginger, passed away within 24 hours of his passing as well. So certainly when that news came out and the family posted it online, one of the first comments, and I thought was perfectly said, that news was both heartbreaking and heartwarming at the same time. Because, you know, family was so important to his life.
Yeah, Ginger, you know, she was that rock. She was she's the one that kind of kept him in line when things maybe weren't going as well as he wanted. And you know how all of that works. And,
right.
And you know, really, if you think about it, that's a movie, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's a romantic, you know, I mean, that and honestly, I think both of them, they were probably holding hands at the end.
Yeah.
That was pretty special.
And yeah, I kind of had the same thing, kind of a storybook ending, just like when he left yep. coaching, leaving on top. I mean, how many people, you know, dream of, you know, leaving yep. On top and making your mark. And it just obviously continued to do that throughout his life. Certainly a great man and a very blessed man. And again, University of Findlay Director of Athletics, Jim Givens, with us this morning, remembering Coach Dick Strom. Thanks very much for taking the time, sharing your thoughts. We appreciate it.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And before he was the director of athletics for the Findlay City Schools, Nate Wirau was an NAIA national champion and the top defensive back in the nation for the Oilers under the guidance of head coach Dick Strom. And Nate Wirau is with us this morning. We're reflecting this morning on the passing of Coach Strom. What was it like to be recruited by Coach? What kind of sold you on the University of Findlay?
Well, great question. I had the opportunity to play with Stevie. So Stevie came on over from Findlay High School. It would have been his junior year, my senior year at Liberty Benton. And I got to meet Coach during that time in the process. They just came off of the 1992 national championship team mm-hmm. with Nathan Sprunger from Pandora Gilboa. And it was an incredible opportunity to meet Coach and cherish every moment with him.
Was he kind of one of those guys that right when you met him, you said, "Hey, I want to play for this guy"?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was a motivator and, you know, he would inspire anybody and everybody. And I've cherished him so much. And just to listen to him and his experiences are just simply amazing.
Is there one thing that kind of stands out to you, a story that stands out as just a perfect example of what you're talking about?
You know, I take a look at Coach and all my experiences and, you know, the things that, you know, I think about him being a motivator and so forth. But, you know, the one thing that really sits out for me was actually, and this is a testament to him and something that I'll never forget, because, I mean, I've always believed that life is about relationships and mm-hmm. And nobody understood that better than Coach Strom. He cared deeply about people. He cared about players or families or futures, right? And our faith and the relationships he built over decades of coaching. You know, but it really wasn't about the knowledge of football. I mean, which was elite, right? His preparation was unmatched and great leadership. But what truly separated Coach was just the impact he had on all of us. I will never forget, he taught us life lessons, integrity, character, discipline, toughness. But I'll never forget when my father became ill. The very first person I called was Coach Strom. And that says everything about who he was and what he meant to so many of us. He was always there, not just during the victories, but during life's most difficult moments. Mm. And my fondest memory of Coach was actually this past fall during homecoming. I had the opportunity to sit with Coach as we watched my two sons, Sam and Luke, play for the Orange and Black. And it was an incredible special moment that I'll cherish forever, because to share that experience with a coach who helped shape my life while watching my own sons, carry on that same tradition truly brought everything full circle.
Yeah. Was that, from a player's perspective, was that really the driver of this? Coach Strom's success, obviously, is well documented. And I guess the question I wonder, how was he so successful from the player's perspective? Is that the fact that it went beyond football for that family of players? Was that really the driver of the success on the field?
Yeah, like I said, I'd always felt that he was a master motivator. I mean, when I always, you know, when we stepped onto that field each week, whether you know, whomever it was, you know, Coach made us believe that winning was inevitable, right? We knew that we were going to win, right? But the only question was by how much. But what made those teams so special was that nobody cared about personal stats, awards, or recognition. We played for one another, and we played as a family. And Coach Strom created that culture of trust, accountability, toughness, and love for one another that still impacts me today and others. In fact, influences how I try to lead programs here at Finley High School.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, the college football landscape is much different, or was much different then than it is now. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago, but there have been so many changes. That being said, you must have had opportunities to, you know, explore other programs at some point as well. What made you come to the university and then stay at the University of Findlay?
Well, there was, I mean, at that point in time, the university won two national championships and be associated with certainly a winner. You know, I love the community. The University of Findlay is an outstanding program from the educational aspect of things, but also athletically. And to stay here within the community, that meant a lot to me. You know, and that was also, as I recall, you know, Nathan Sprunger, Jacob Warrington, back from Arcadia, was also, I believe he came on in 1991. Mm-hmm. But it was nice to have some, you know, you get to see some local talent. Scott Garlock,
yeah,
was also the quarterback at that point in time.
And it, the same, I guess, as far as Coach Strom, certainly. He must have had other opportunities throughout his career that he could have moved up and moved on. Why do you think he stayed?
Well, for all the values that he also taught us, and that is, you know, playing together, playing as a family. I know that he had opportunities to leave elsewhere, but I think that as a community, as in Findlay, it was an outstanding place, and he created a family type of atmosphere and a culture that I would assume felt that he wanted just to be a part of and to stay here.
Yeah. We are so fortunate that he did, and like we said, the legacy kind of speaks for itself. What would you say to someone who never met Coach Strom if you had to explain to them why he was so successful, why he was so beloved within, you know, within the athletic community for you know, his players and within the community as a whole? How would you describe that to someone who never met Coach Strom?
Well, boy, I talked about relationships earlier, but just the values, you know, being such a motivator that he was, and the values that he brought, the integrity, the character, faith, family, toughness, humility, and love for one another. That's his legacy that will last forever. I know that he's accomplished so much, you know, from the four national championships, the numerous conference titles, the All-Americans, and certainly one of the most respected programs that he created, that culture in college football. But as I mentioned, the remarkable thing about Coach Strom is that he's such a, not only a tremendous football coach, but is even a better human being. Mm.
Again, Findlay City Schools Athletic Director Nate Weirauf, former NAIA national champion and top defensive back in the nation for the Oilers under the guidance of Coach Strom. Nate, thanks very much for taking the time, sharing your thoughts. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir.
By the way, visitation for Coach Strom will be held Wednesday afternoon at Colder and Crates. The funeral will be Thursday morning at the University of Findlay Alumni Memorial Union, and Coach will be laid to rest at Maple Grove Cemetery. Certainly our thoughts and prayers with his family, with his football family, and with all of those who knew and loved Coach Dick Strom.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Workers in Columbus, union workers in Columbus, are filing a grievance after goats were used to clear the brush at the Southerly Water Reclamation Plant there in the capital city. They brought goats in to clear the brush, and the union workers are not happy. Local union president Will Harmon has taken issue with the city's choice to use animals for the task, saying that all subcontracting has to be discussed with union leadership first. They subcontracted it to the goats, and he's not happy. Columbus Water and Power brought the goats in to eat up the vegetation at the site, claiming that the choice was the most safe and economically and environmentally responsible. Mr. Harmon says his workers still have to go into the same areas to finish cleaning up what the goats did not get. The union taking issue with the goats. Let's see what else is going on in the broken news. You remember, it was yesterday, right? We had the story about the guy who's shopping, and somebody who's walking by in the aisle ended up shooting him. He got shot while he was grocery shopping because somebody's gun went off accidentally in the store. Well, here's another accidental discharge of a firearm. This one is a little even more embarrassing because it involves the Pasadena Police Department in California. Pasadena PD has released dash camera video of an accidental shooting involving two officers. It happened last September inside the Pasadena Police parking garage. One officer drove up to another officer who drew his gun and as a joke. And the officer in the squad car also then drew his gun, which accidentally went off. Bullet went through the windshield and hit the other officer in the shoulder. Pasadena Police Chief Eugene Harris calls it a horseplay incident. He says the officer who was shot has fully recovered, thank goodness, and disciplinary action has been taken. I want to know the guy who shot his fellow officer. His name wouldn't be Barney Fife, would it? We'll let you keep your gun, but we're going to take away the bullets. This may be my favorite broken news story of the week. And this is out of Florida, of course. The Cape Coral Police Department in Florida reports that Devin Turner was arrested for burglary while he was on the way to court for a prior burglary charge. He was on his way to court on charges of burglary when he committed another burglary. Ms. Turner allegedly attempted to enter an RV that people were living in, and when he was unable to do so, he disconnected the vehicle's power source. So an attempted burglary charge. Officers arrived on the scene and made contact with Mr. Turner. During the investigation, police say, Mr. Turner stated he was on his way to court and was searching for clothing to wear. Well, I guess he was trying to be responsible. He didn't want to show up, you know, in tattered jeans and a dirty T-shirt or anything like that. He had to have a proper outfit, so... If you're a burglar, what do you do? Oh, and he was also found to be in possession of a substance that tested positive for methamphetamine. So, there is that. committed a burglary on his way to court, facing a burglary charge. let's see. Now, I love this. This started out to be a story that there was nothing funny about this, but there is a twist. So bear with me on this. A 20-year-old man in Illinois by the name of Yug Kwan. He now faces two felony charges after participating in a scheme, a fraud scheme that targeted a 79-year-old widow. Nice guy. Apparently, this scammer convinced the woman that her social security number was linked to terrorism and she needed to convert her savings to gold for law enforcement tracking. All right, that was the scam. When she wired $700,000 to a coin shop in her town there in Illinois, Grand Rapids Coins, they get this wire transfer of $700,000 from this 78-year-old widow or 79-year-old widow who wants to convert all of her savings into gold. The owner of the store, Ben Soldat, became suspicious. And so he contacted the Kent County Sheriff's Office. Detectives confirmed that it was a scam, and they arranged for an undercover officer disguised as this elderly woman to deliver the gold coins to the scammer. What? What the scammer didn't know. So, you know, big shout out to Mr. Soldat, the owner of the shop, for being on top of things here. So he's the hero in the story. What the scammer didn't know is that they didn't actually take $700,000 in gold coins with them to make this fake exchange or fake gold coin drop. They used chocolate gold coins instead. He used chocolate gold coins in the drop. I love it. Mr. Shawan, the scammer, was arrested, and he is being held not only in connection with the scam, but also on an ICE detainer. Each felony charge carries up to 20 years in prison. But did he get to keep the chocolate? That's what I know. I want to know. Did he get to keep the chocolate, at least? Use the chocolate gold coins. I love it. And lastly, here in the broken news this morning, have a World Cup-related story. Because the World Cup is underway now. And in Miami Beach, the referees for all of the World Cup games, they fly them in from all over the world, and all of the referees are headquartered in Miami. Well, a Miami Beach hotel security guard is now facing felony burglary charges after police say he used a master key at the hotel that he works at. He used a master key to enter a guest's room. Investigators say 33-year-old Carlos Mendoza, who worked at the Grand Beach Hotel, did not take any money or valuables. Instead, he allegedly stole an official FIFA referee uniform that belonged to a soccer official that was staying there. He didn't want money. He didn't want jewelry. He didn't want any valuables. He took the soccer referee uniform. Of all things, the uniform has since been returned, and I'm guessing that Mr. Mendoza is now out of a job. You want to take the soccer referee uniform for, of all things. There you go. That is today's broken. I mean, we've had unusual thefts before, but that one takes the cake, or takes the red card. There you go. That is certainly deserving of a red card. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glantz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So what do you think? Are we alone in the universe, or is there life out there somewhere? Well, apparently we are not alone, and maybe we are not alone even on Earth. At least that's what a significant number of people believe in America. According to a... This is fun. According to a new CBS News YouGov poll, 63% of Americans believe that intelligent life exists on other planets. 63%. That is up from just 48% 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, less than half of Americans believed there was intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. Now it's two-thirds. But the 63% today is actually down slightly from 5 years ago when it was 66%. So more than 30 years ago, not as many as 5 years ago. Believe that. While one-third of people believe that we will never have contact with aliens, because they ask, will we ever make contact with these aliens, intelligent life from other planets? One-third of people say that we will never have contact, which is kind of hard to believe. I mean, they're out there. 46% say we will at some point have contact with aliens. 21% believe that we already have. The truth is out there. When asked, how would you feel about meeting an alien being? This was an interesting question. How would you feel about meeting an alien being? 67% responded to that question by saying that they would be curious. 47% say they would be nervous. 32% would be excited. And 31% would be scared. Obviously, they could pick more than one response because the total is more than 100, but 31% said that they would be scared. I would have guessed that that would have been much higher. I think you would be a little bit scared, right? I mean, I guess it would depend on how they look. I mean, if it looks like the creature from Alien, I would be scared. If it looks like E.T., probably less scared. But then again, you know, looks can be deceiving. Anyway, while only 17% say that they have ever seen something they believe to be a UFO, they asked, have you ever seen anything that you believe is a flying saucer from outer space? Only 17% said that they have ever seen anything that they believe could be, you know, a alien spacecraft. 84% believe that the government knows more than it is telling on the subject of extraterrestrial life. So we are, regardless, that number is actually higher than all of the other numbers, which I thought was really interesting. Regardless of how you feel, yay or nay, on the possibility of intelligent life elsewhere in the universe, it seems nearly everyone, at least 84%, vast majority of people believe that the government knows something that they are not telling us, which probably says more about our faith in government or lack thereof than it does about how we feel about intelligent life on other planets. My wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio this morning. The World Cup getting underway. And for those that don't know, we are kind of a soccer family. We have always been a soccer family. Yep. Our boys both played. And as many people know, if you are a regular listener to this program, I am a youth soccer referee. Yep. And so we are a soccer family. It's a big time. We are actually doing a watch party with our youngest son and his wife, hosting a watch party for Team USA. And so these are some of the recipes that we will be taking with us to share and figure we'd share with you this morning. Yeah. And there are recipes from Kyra's Kitchen for your World Cup watch party or really whatever, you know, any kind of gathering, any whatever.
Party, picnic.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
maybe you have a...
These are easy.
If you're not a soccer fan, maybe you have a... well, the NBA finals. You got the NHL Stanley Cup finals. Baseball games. Maybe you have a baseball watch party. The All-Star game is coming up. Maybe you have an All-Star watch party. Maybe a 4th of July picnic. Whatever it might happen to be. But because the World Cup is underway, we'll call it the World Cup watch party recipes. Yes. And we begin with barbecue chicken sliders.
Yes. So this is barbecue rub, and that's to taste. 1 pound of boneless, skinless chicken breast, 18 ounce barbecue sauce, 1 teaspoon minced garlic, 1/2 teaspoon onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon, 1/2 teaspoon ground black pepper, 1/2 red onion sliced, 1 1/2 cups of mild cheddar cheese shredded, 18 slider rolls, 2 tablespoons of butter melted, and 1/2 teaspoon of Italian seasoning. So sprinkle barbecue rub on your chicken breast. Place on a 400 degree heated grill. Sear on both sides. Does not have to be cooked through. Place the chicken in a container with sides. Cover and store overnight. Add barbecue sauce, garlic, onion powder, and pepper to a 6-quart slow cooker. Mix until well combined. Place the chicken in the barbecue sauce, cover, and cook on low for 7 to 8 hours or on high for 3 to 4 hours. Remove the chicken, shred with 2 forks, put back in the crock, add back in the sauce, and mix until well combined. And then preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper. Place the bottom half of the rolls on the prepared baking sheet. Spread out the shredded chicken onto the rolls. Next, put the onion and cheese on top. Then add the top roll tops onto the rolls. Mm-hmm. In a small bowl, whisk together your melted butter and Italian seasoning. Set aside, cover in with aluminum foil, and bake for 15 minutes or until the cheese is melted. Remove, brush the tops with the prepared butter mixture. I put mine back in the oven for a little bit, just kind of make it a little crispy.
Okay.
And then take it out and serve while warm.
You're good to go.
Yes.
Now, if barbecue chicken is not your thing, you could also do ham and cheese sliders. Yes. And I love these.
This
these
is
are
one
really
of your
good.
Favorites. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, 1/2 cup of butter melted, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard, 1 1/2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, 1 tablespoon of poppy seeds, 1 tablespoon of dried minced onion, 24 package of your Hawaiian slider rolls, 1 pound deli ham, thinly sliced, and 1 pound Swiss cheese. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Spray a 9 by 13 inch baking dish with cooking spray and set aside. Mix the melted butter, brown sugar, mustard, Worcestershire sauce, poppy seeds, and minced onion. Place the bottom of the slider rolls in the prepared baking dish. Top with 1/2 of the ham. Add the cheese. Top with your remaining ham. Put the tops on. Brush the butter mixture over the tops of the sliders. Cover with foil and bake for 15 minutes. Remove from the oven and remove the foil. Return to the oven and bake for an additional 10 minutes. Remove, cut, and serve. Mm. So
you give folks an option there. You've got the barbecue chicken sliders. You've got the ham and cheese sliders. And then for finger foods, you know, this is a great recipe too. The super easy soft pretzel bites.
Yes. This is always a big soccer thing. I mean, it seems to be. People,
the soft pretzel.
Yeah,
everybody soft loves soft pretzels.
It's like one of the big soccer things. Yeah. So this is 1 can of refrigerated biscuit dough, the 8 count, 1/4 cup of baking soda, 10 cups of water, 1 egg, plus 1 tablespoon of water for the egg wash, and salt. So prepare the oven to 425 degrees. Line a large baking sheet with parchment paper and lightly grease with nonstick cooking spray. Separate your rolls, roll them into a small rope, cut into 4 equal pieces, fill a large pot with 10 cups of water and bring to a boil. Once boiling, carefully stir in your baking soda, working in batches. Drop your dough balls into the baking soda bath and boil for about 15 seconds on each side. Use a slotted spoon to transfer dough balls to the baking sheet. In a small bowl, mix together the egg and 1 tablespoon of water. Brush the egg wash over each dough ball and immediately sprinkle with some salt. Bake for 15 minutes until golden brown. Some will be darker than others. That's okay. Enjoy with some cheese sauce or ranch dip. Okay. And that's it.
That's as easy as it is. Super easy soft pretzel bites to go along with your recipes for barbecue chicken sliders and the ham and cheese sliders. And as always, those recipes are posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you can check that out online at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. That's where you find it. Or you can go to our webpage, goodmornings.net, and we have a link there that will take you right to those recipes. And again, if you are not following the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, you want to do so because all of the recipes are always posted there.
Yep.
Each week, and so you can go back and find one that, you know, maybe you have a gathering like a month from now. You could come up on 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Labor Day. So you go to Labor Day, the end of the summer, and you're having a big end of summer bash, and you remember hearing us talking about the barbecue chicken sliders and the ham and cheese sliders, and say, that sounds good. Yeah. You can go back and you can find those recipes on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page. And as we always say, if there's a recipe you are looking for, something you are you know, don't have a recipe for but would like to, let us know. You can message us on Facebook. You can email us directly. goodmornings@wfin.com is our email address. And make a request, or if you have an idea for a recipe, you know, whatever it might happen to be.
I would love new recipes.
Absolutely.
I love them.
Always looking for new stuff to try. So again, it all starts at our webpage, goodmornings.net, and you will find the link there. My wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform to help others discover the show as well. Thank you very much. Coming up Monday morning on the program, what's going on with Whirlpool? Their stock is down more than 60% over the past year, and they've cut their full year earnings forecast in half. Is one of Northwest Ohio's biggest employers in trouble? Plus, what dad really deserves this Father's Day is time off to spend with their family. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.